Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Do you know who I am?
Mike Shope.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me.
The Bulldog.
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
15 years, maybe even to the day, we just learned something new about each other. We agree on something important, and that is we both hate sports countdown clocks. They're stupid. The Mets game is coming on at 3.
It's ridiculous.
They had a countdown clock
on their
for people who don't know what 3 means.
Right. Well, for their pregame show, they had a countdown clock in the corner, and I caught it just as it was like 5 seconds left. Like, oh, boy. And then they played the big open, and then they cut to a shot of the field, and there's guys with rakes out there. Like, countdown clocks are stupid as it is, but if you're going to have a countdown clock to game time, the first time you show me the field, there should be a guy ready to pitch. And the clock, or the clock should still be going. If you have a clock there, keep the clock going until the guys with the rakes are done using the rakes. Otherwise, the clock is just, it's stupid. It's pointless.
It's not a clock to anything.
No.
It's a clock to rakes.
It's a clock to rake time, not game time.
Rake time.
Countdown to rake time. Great. Oh, boy, I'm gripped. Stupid.
Yeah, like the big ones. Say the draft or something. They'll be like, the draft is in 22 days, 8 hours. You know what you could do instead? What is the date of the draft?
Right.
And I'll just remember that.
Right.
And if I care at all, I could forget until the day of the draft and then realize it's that day.
Right. I don't know.
I don't need a countdown clock.
I think the way most TVs work, like you can hit a button and then it shows you what's going to be on. And you go, oh, that's on tonight.
That's right.
Okay. Great.
And if you miss it, it's on whenever you want anyway, except for sports.
Right, probably. Right, that's right. That's how last night, I did not at all. I knew that the Humboldt Broncos were opening their Saskatchewan junior hockey season last night, and I knew that was a big deal in Canada, and that TSN was going to be broadcasting from there, and it was very meaningful north of the border. I didn't leave here at all thinking, I can't wait to go home and watch that. I didn't even think about whether it would be on here. But when I got home, Owen asked me, is there anything cool on TV tonight? I said, I don't know, go look. And he went in the living room while I was preparing dinner, and he's going through the guide, and he goes, NHL Network's got Humboldt Broncos pregame and then the game. And I said, great. Put that. That's going to be fantastic to watch.
How could a countdown clock have helped you?
Right.
I mean, imagine watching NHL Network all day.
Right. No.
Even in hockey season?
I could not even imagine doing that. No.
The countdown clock is just going to be moot. Like, I'm just turning it off anyway.
Right.
I'll come back.
Right.
What time is that? 8 o'clock? No one goes, how many hours, minutes, and seconds from now is that? So I can understand. Speaking of hockey, Erik Karlsson has been traded to San Jose. This is official. This is not something that's being reported anymore. This is official. And the Senators got some stuff. None of it seems that great.
No.
They didn't even get San Jose's first-round pick next year because as long as San Jose makes the playoffs, the Sabres have that.
Right.
So they'll get some future picks, and they also, kind of in a funny, interesting development, they also have a condition
right.
that Karlsson not be traded to any Eastern Conference team by the Sharks.
Well, they're protected. They get more back.
Well, right,
if
right,
that
right,
happens.
Right, right.
Yeah, there's
the Sharks are allowed to do it.
They can do it, but they'd have to give up another first round pick by the year 2022 to Ottawa if they trade him to the East.
The Senators knew to do this because last time they traded Mike Hoffman, it was actually to the same team, San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that largely because they did not want him to compete in their division. They did not want him to play for a team in their division. And San Jose, like, not even an hour later, traded him to Florida. So the Senators were, like, not too bitter about that to not talk to San Jose anymore
because
they did this. But they said, listen, guys, this time we have to get smart here.
Right.
And you have to give us something really good if you actually trade him, if you flip him.
Right. One hockey reporter, Chris Johnston, is referring to that as the Mike Hoffman clause in this deal with San Jose, that if they were to move him, the way he words it here is if he shows up on the reserve list, basically means if he's on an Eastern Conference team, anytime this year, then San Jose's got to send another first-round pick back to Ottawa.
Sports people don't always think of stuff first. It would not be incredible if, like, there were a trade between, say, Columbus and Chicago, where Chicago took the player and flipped him to the Penguins or something, and then Ottawa and San Jose sit down and go, can we have a thing here? But this is actually because of a trade between the same two teams.
Right, I wonder how when Pierre Dorion, right, that's the Ottawa GM. Doug Wilson is the GM in San Jose. Like, I wonder how early in negotiations that came up, or if that was at the very. Oh, hey, you know what? By the way, you know, if you try to do what you did with Hoffman, we need to do something. We need something in there. Okay.
Did Carlson have power over this? Did he have? Did he have no trade? Did he have power?
I don't, you know what, through all this, I never really knew whether he had a no trade.
He's up in a year.
He's got that. I mean, he's got that. Whether he wants to negotiate with someone he gets traded to.
They're reporting that he is not getting a new contract from San Jose, so he may still be headed to free agency in a year. And, you know, I hope that that's right, because San Jose did not give up a lot here. This is about, maybe this is a decent price for 1 year of Erik Karlsson. Maybe it's not even good enough, but it's not outrageous.
Right. It's a lot of stuff. There's quantity here. And the picks, I mean, who knows what the pick, if they were to end up with, in addition to the two and the one they already got, there's another clause about something that could become a first round pick if he signs there and San Jose wins the cups. Like, that's even more complicated. But as far as like the bodies go, they didn't get. There's, from what I understand, I'm not an expert on San Jose's farm system, but I did a little reading as this trade happened, and their top three guys were not a part of this. So they managed to protect their what are thought of as their best three prospects, and everything else is below that. So Ottawa traded one of the very best players in the entire league and couldn't get their hands on anything that San Jose, I mean, really, really valued highly.
Well, Ottawa, I think, would have wanted Karlsson to negotiate with any new team. Right? Like,
sure.
They would have wanted. He's worth a lot more in a trade if the new team can sign him after that.
Right.
But that wasn't possible. Like, people. Travis Yost thinks he's going to either Tampa or Vegas. He's thought that, especially Tampa. He was always pushing that. So, what? Like, there was just no deal possible that. This deal, well, they just want him out of the conference because why? Like, they're going to win? I mean, for 1 year, who cares if he's in the Eastern Conference?
Right.
They're going to finish last in the league. They almost did last year with him.
If not for us.
Right. They won that game at the end of the year. I was so happy for them. All right, so Erik Karlsson is out of the East. And can we just take a few minutes here? I don't know who I'm asking. I guess you would be the only person I'd be asking. Take a look at this Met crowd. The Marlins must think they're home. Look, at there are nine people at this game. They don't need a countdown clock for this.
Right. Yeah, the game still hasn't started, by the way. The countdown clock reached zero 11 minutes and 30 seconds ago, and it's still, I got kids jumping around in the stands.
A couple. That's about it, though. Look at this crowd.
Somebody's digging into the batter's box, so okay, here we go.
So let's take a minute here to talk a little bit about the Sabres.
Okay.
They're now in camp. Mm-hmm. We have Jack Eichel speaking. We have Phil Housley. Like, it's starting. They have a game Monday. And Karlsson is out of the way. I just want to bring up them and just throw out the question about, like, what our expectations are here. Because I'm still not seeing anybody that I would bring up say this is a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody is predicting that like sort of appeals to me or impresses me, at least yet. Maybe it's too early.
I've not even seen people I don't respect say that.
Okay. Yeah, you're the one here who follows a lot of people you don't respect. reads them constantly. So what are we supposed to do? Like, you always, that's always the only goal that matters. We want to be out of the last place conversation. Last place in the league conversation.
Right. They are, right? Right?
I mean, I don't know.
Anyone?
I think so.
I think so.
I think there are two teams in their division that should almost definitely finish below them. It's incredible that Detroit didn't 2 years ago. And yeah. Detroit is really almost nowhere.
It's two.
And Ottawa.
Maybe even three. I'm not crazy about Montreal either, but they've got the goalie. And like, you never know, I guess, with them. But I think definitely Ottawa and Detroit. And I might have my eye on Montreal for that, too. So, yeah.
Getting any higher than that will be really tough.
Yeah, and then you're into Florida, and then those top three are just, I mean, come on.
You have to have, and I don't want to rule this out. I'm not ruling this out. You have to have three parts go really exceptionally well. And that is Dahlin, who we all expect to be good, but if he can be, like, outstanding as a rookie, that will, it's tough to measure. Like, one reason why I wouldn't want to be fully married to the projections, like the numbers guys' projections in the last couple of years, is because the Sabres have been really young, and that makes those people's jobs harder when trying to predict a team, because there's just not as much data. So Dahlin, you have only, we really don't have any.
Right.
If you get like an all-star caliber season from him as a rookie, Mittelstadt, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing.
If
those two guys are like outstanding right away, then it could get interesting, and goaltending. Mm-hmm. If this new goalie, Hutton, has a year like he just had, playing more, then, I mean, I think you have a chance.
Oh, you're going to win a lot more games if you get a goalie that's cruising at 925 even, and last year he was at 930. And not playing all the time. So, like, that's a hard number, I think, to reach. But if you get somewhere even between 920 and 930, I think you're going to win a lot more games.
They have to win a lot more games.
Right.
To get to the playoffs.
You got a lot of ground to make up. Right. I think if Dahlin and Mittelstadt are like, bona fide, they're Matt Barzal. They are Rookie of the Year contenders, both of them, running concurrently on the same team. Then, yeah, that changes your team a lot. Like, you got a defenseman there that's playing 22, 25 minutes a night and is that good that he's considered, you know, what are we, you know, 2 months into the season, like, hey, he's a Rookie of the Year contender. Great. And if Mittelstadt's doing the same thing, then you're getting 20 minutes a night from him, and he's going to score you to be a Rookie of the Year consideration somewhere between 50 and 60 points, I think, is at least what you'd have to be talking about. And I don't know. I don't want to speak for everyone here. I would sign in blood for 55 points from Casey Mittelstadt right now. Like, that would be just tremendous to me. First year in the NHL, great. Like, get me O'Reilly's points, even. Like, I hope you are eventually going to exceed that with the skill set you've got, but out of the wrapping paper, you get me that, fine.
So it can't really be the... It can be the goal. It can't be the expectation.
No. No, I don't. I can't sit here and say I expect that, because you're talking about, what are we talking about? We're talking about teenagers, and those are two very important guys in all of this. Even with the additions of Sherry and Jeff Skinner, those two guys are the biggest impact, because you're replacing O'Reilly's production, let alone all his overall minutes. You have to figure that out. But just replace his production would be an accomplishment. And then, you know, Dahlin hits the ground flying to the point where he's that good right away, then that would be, yeah, that's the hope. I can't sit here and say I definitely expect that.
Okay, so a little hockey there, and we'll have Sabres games on Tuesday night, if not also Monday night. I was just looking at the board. We have Monday Night Football written up there. Anyway, we'll get to that. You'll figure that out. We'll all figure that out. The Bills. So, I guess maybe the word is out. McDermott got picked on by ESPN with that press conference. you know, we've talked about him a lot this week, and in the course of that, I try to slip in that, like, not every I know, and everybody knows, not every fan cares about these press conferences. Not everybody minds. A lot of people, no, as a rule, will apologize for or defend the coaches with, like, what are they supposed to say? As if there's only, like, two ways you could be completely open and giving away the play-calling sheet versus not saying a single thing. So it's been a conversation around here. It always is. We're always just talking at least a little bit about the coach and what he says and how he is. And so ESPN yesterday, like, mocked him.
Or would they have a counter for, what was the phrase they were counting?
Right decision.
Right for our team.
Right for our team. Okay. And they had, like, so they had a ticker running.
Right move.
Right.
That's
move.
What I couldn't
That's
think
it.
Of.
Right. Okay. Sorry.
Right move.
All right.
And so they counted him saying it 14 times.
Right.
And they played them all in succession in about it takes about a minute. They wrote it on the screen and just like they made fun of him.
Yeah.
You know, that's yesterday's news, right? Like, that's yesterday's news. And this, maybe I'll get somewhere interesting with this. I'm warning you, but maybe not. Like, okay. So Josh Allen is in now. And a lot of fans, well, us too, of course, are like scrutinizing how we got here. People are bringing up the offseason, Tyrod Taylor being traded, all the things that have happened to get us to right here, Nathan Peterman getting another start. And the most simple, easy, obvious thing to say is, if Allen is good, none of it ends up being at all a blight on the organization. Like, nobody cares about any of it ever.
Right.
If Allen ends up being good.
Peterman getting a second start after that horrible debut in Los Angeles is barely a footnote. You said it yesterday a few times. Like, we probably don't even remember it in 5 years.
There are all the different sort of cases they could make for Allen, really. A lot of them are disqualified. Like, they aren't a team that says, we're not worried about him not having time to sit and watch. They can't say that because now he's in. I mean, he went in the first game and he starts the second game. So they can't tell you about the importance, and I wouldn't want them to, by the way, but they can't tell you about the importance of having Josh Allen watch for a while. Like, that is out.
Right. If they had believed in that, they could have handled the roster differently and had A.J. McCarron still here so that they wouldn't be in a position where Nathan Peterman burst into flames on television and they have to put Josh Allen in.
Totally. So they can't tell you that. They also can't tell you ever that they didn't care about the sit-and-watch stuff.
Right.
Because he did not get the start in week one. They did have a preseason competition between the 7th overall pick and Nathan Peterman. Like, so they can't tell you that either. There's no real... If Josh Allen works out, you know, in the course of time, there's no real, like, well, philosophy that the Bills will ever be able to tell you that they used for him. He needed to sit? No. He needed to play? No.
Mm-hmm.
He's just in there, right? And it looks haphazard, and it's being mocked. But if he's good, so what? And I'm telling you, this is possible. It is possible that he will succeed anyway. But kind of the point about how quarterbacks don't necessarily benefit from sitting and watching is that some guys go in and are good. You know, and this remains to be seen with him. There's nothing that's happened here with Peterman or with the preseason that makes me any more pessimistic about Allen. You know, it's unchanged for me from what he was coming in because you shouldn't really try to predict that stuff. Like, he might be able to do it. Now, he's got, as we all agree, I think, like, he's got a real challenge with this group.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not going to have good pass protection. He's not going to have good receivers. Like, he's going to have a real hard time in that. But you're not giving up on him, 99% at least, you're not giving up on him this year, you know, at the end of this year. You fully intend to get him to a point where he's going to have better linemen and better receivers.
Sure.
And so whatever happens, happens. But there's no, I'm just saying, like, the Bills can never tell you that they had a certain plan for him because there was no plan. The plan was they had a job competition. He lost.
And then he had to play.
And then he had to play in the first game anyway.
Right.
They didn't. They chose neither he should sit and wait, mm-hmm. nor he should play immediately. They chose neither of those things. They just sort of made him the, you know, the result or something. He's the guy that goes in when the other plan went up in smoke.
Yeah. And I think something that I've been thinking about today is their judgment in all of this. Right. I mean, ESPN is making fun of the coach now yesterday because of how all this looks. And I think all of this that you just said about haphazard is, I think, a perfect word to describe how he's landed in the starting job. And that, you know, that usually deserves to be laughed at to some extent. Or at least looked at skeptically. So you've got all that rolled into this, and so their judgment, McDermott's judgment, I have very much, I feel like this is right, stuck up for nobody knows. Don't tell me Josh Allen's a horrible pick. You don't know. I know you're analyzing film and you still don't know because you're doing that on lots of guys. And you told me the same thing about Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago, and he looks like he's going to be really good already. And maybe it's too early to say that definitively, but it looks, it's certainly going in the right direction after he's played now only two games. These guys, they chose Allen. They also chose Peterman to play games for them that mattered, that count in the standings. And that does not mean that Allen has to fail, but it shakes me a little bit, I got to tell you, to think about. Dreading isn't the right word. I mean, it's a football game. It's going to be a beautiful day. There'll be 70,000 people there. It's going to be a fun day. So dreading Sunday is not exactly how I want to say it. But there's apprehension from me personally, professionally, just for the Bills fan in me. I am okay. That's how I feel about Sunday. Okay. I sure hope that this goes well. And as the week has unfolded here, their judgment is sort of being folded into that feeling. And it's enhancing that feeling, because they think Nathan Peterman's good.
Oh, what could they know?
Holy cow!
We'll have Mario Puig today. I mean, Mario's a guy who said, "How in the world is it possible in the NFL in 2018 that any team could pick Josh Allen in the first round?" You have the college career and all that argument, but I'm not up for that argument anymore. At least right now, just let's see what Sunday is, and we'll take your calls on what you want out of Sunday. Is it a stupid question? You only want them to win? What Bulldog is saying, we talked about this yesterday too, is just please don't get crushed again and have us all wondering what to do on next week.
Right. I just do not want to be watching that game or have it be over and be going, oh my God. That's why I want to avoid that more than anything. I just don't want to. I don't want that.
803-0550. Mario Puig and John Clayton today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
I was a big Danny Woodhead fan growing up because he's from Nebraska. He was with the Chargers, played with Philip Rivers, and so I always tuned in, always watched them for his time there. But yeah, it's cool. Each week, even last week with Flacco and this week and whoever we have next, there's the quarterbacks get so much publicity and so much fame and stuff. But yeah, it's going to be very incredible to play against such a seasoned vet like that.
Harrison Phillips of the Bills is excited to play against Philip Rivers. Said he was a big Danny Woodhead fan. I think it's a good time to get Woodhead off of your roster, given that he is retired.
Make a note of that.
I've got another name for your out there quarterback list. Quarterbacks you could bring in.
Oh, okay.
Nick Stevens.
Who the hell's that?
You guys know who Nick Stevens is? Joe, do you know?
No clue.
Joe Stomp, that's a tough name then. He was in Denver's camp this year and was cut. He was 2017 first team All Mountain West for Colorado State.
I see.
Second team, this is Josh Allen's former conference, second team quarterback All Mountain West last year, Brett Rippon of Boise State, who is still there. He was a junior.
All right, well, there's that. Nick Stevens.
Nick Stevens. Mm-hmm.
Maybe they saw him if they were scouting that league. Maybe they saw him play against Bulldog, Josh Allen.
Didn't you hear? They've seen everybody.
Yeah.
Here is Toby with us. Hello.
Mike, first I want to apologize to you. That quarterback competition idea that I gave you is dumb. And
I have no idea what you mean.
We talked about, I think, you know, drafting three quarterbacks and having a competition, but obviously the Bills proved me that was a terrible idea. The Peterman thing, he had me fooled. I thought he was going to do good this year, but, I mean, I'm not evaluation tank. Thank God they're not relying on me, but we should have just had Josh Allen start with the ones from the beginning, and if he failed, then we pull in a veteran, but, I mean, we just look terrible. Everything's backwards. Now he's got to go in there with no, basically, a week of prep.
So you're saying you've just come to this opinion?
No, I have to admit that I was wrong, Mike.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. You've now come to the opinion that Allen should have been the quarterback?
Did it.
Well, we all know that now, right? Like, we all know that now.
Well, we all know that their whole training camp meant nothing. That's what we know now. That
yeah, like,
evaluated the guy and everything, and he just lit on fire. So, but...
Yeah, we all know that now. I mean, that's right.
Yep.
I don't know. Almost every caller we get to this show is a stranger to me. And so, like, I feel like the person who calls to say Josh Allen should have played is necessarily going to be someone that's been saying that. Because now, what else is there to say now? Like, now Nathan Peterman played.
Right,
and
even, he's got to play now. I right after the game on Sunday, like you're gonna have to put him in. You're not gonna do this again. This is a disaster. I respected the competition all through the summer. I did. I mean, how else are you gonna decide who's gonna play? You drafted him, therefore he should play.
Yes.
Okay. I don't agree with that. I think you're gonna try to run a football team and decide which guy's gonna be best. You got to try to decide based on how they look in practice and how they look in meetings and how they look in games, and like that's how I would do it. So I would make probably the same mistake they made. I don't know that I would have necessarily ended up on Peterman, but it was credible to me the way they did it.
Hey, look, though, if you made the preseason important, how could you not have ended up on Peterman?
Well, right, that's what I mean. And that's how I would do it.
So the lesson, isn't there a lesson to be learned here? Like, would you do it that way next time? That's kind of what this guy is showing you is, hey, I thought Peterman would be good. I thought the competition was the right thing. I guess training camp was worthless. And I'm like, yeah, that's just my opinion. I'm not saying like you have to agree with this. But now that is reasonable to ask. Like, what did we learn? You know, what did we learn? The preseason comes around. And not everyone, but a lot of people want you to notice every little thing that happens and put some meaning on it. And I don't know if it's like some people do that because they have a talk show and it feels like you have to do that. Or do you actually mean it when you say that? I mean, next time around, what do you want to do? Do you want to have a competition or do you want to say this guy is the one guy with upside and this guy is the one that matters here? So we're going to play him no matter what.
Yeah, I don't think I would ever do that. So I would probably risk doing the same thing and making the same mistake that they just made. Because I think I would want to have a competition. I don't think handing people jobs based on where I chose them, especially if they are described in advance of me even choosing them for my team as someone who's going to need time to develop and is raw and all this stuff. Like, I'm going to want to make sure before I put them out there that that's not the case. So I respected what they were doing. And how they did it. It blew up on them, obviously. But I think I would still do the same thing and just, I don't know, assume that the guy that wins the competition isn't going to be historically laughably bad. And, I mean, there's no way to know that, but...
Is this a good debate? I think it is. I think most football fans, and I think most people are exactly like you here.
Mm-hmm.
That it should be earned. And I have said consistently, I think it was earned when they picked him. I think it should have been over when they picked him. But I think most people are more like you, which is, well, that's not good enough. Why would you not have a competition battle? Like, almost every coach would say that. Almost every coach does say that. the best guys make the team.
Mm-hmm.
It's how they get away with the preseason even existing anymore, because it's almost all backups. Soon it will only be backups. So they tell you that it matters. And, you know, I guess enough people buy it.
To an extent, I still do. Yes. I mean, I don't believe in just handing over jobs to people who have yet to prove that they are capable of doing them at the highest level. I mean, he was not all what conference is it again?
Mountain West.
All Mountain West. I mean, he was not decorated. You know, I mean, I think it's different. You know, I think if you choose somebody who has like one, you know, one. How about just win? Like it's someone that was good, that was the quarterback of an 11-win team and has prolific stats and played against the best competition and looks really good. Like I might be more tempted to anoint that guy. I probably would talk like I'm going to assume he'll win the job, but I still probably wouldn't just give it to him.
Isn't this
guy had none of that?
Sorry, isn't this? This is a huge point to me. This is what makes Nathan Peterman popular in the first place. People, like the most people who have regular jobs, you are in your job, you have several coworkers who do about the same job, and let's say, and I'm sorry that I'm going to start out at least being very general about this, but you're at this company, and seven or eight people are on the same level as you doing this job, and there's a boss. And the boss leaves for a different, moves to a different city. The boss goes away. Who will become the new boss? And one day, you get a memo that says, John Smith from Castle Pines, Colorado is the new boss. Please greet him, and we will all have a, we all meet in the conference room to meet the new boss, John Smith. And the seven or eight people on your level go, well, he doesn't know anything about Buffalo. He doesn't know how to sell this product in this town.
We're going to have to show him how to do it.
He doesn't deserve it because he just doesn't know the ropes like we do. One of us should be the boss. And what is the company saying? No, this guy's super qualified. The fact that you've never heard of him doesn't matter to me. We pick him. We know what we're doing. We pick him. And doesn't have to be right. But that's what happens. And when that happens in people's real lives, they're really upset about that sometimes. You know, like, well, why is that fair? And I don't think this was ever about or should ever have been about fair. Once
no,
Allen was drafted, he's the quarterback of the Bills.
I don't need it to be fair, like, in the sense that you're describing. But, like, I don't know, regional sales managers aren't doing something that I can evaluate on the field. I mean, they're performing in their job in the region that they're leaving to come here, and like that grants them the opportunity that the company's giving them. I can only get so far with this metaphor. I'm playing a sport, and I'm gonna watch you two side by side and decide which one of you is better. I'm not gonna just give you the job because you are big and strong. Which is basically what I would have been doing with Josh Allen, right?
I think that's what they did when they picked him. I think they picked him because he's big and strong. And so, for me, that's the framework. And I think it was pretty ridiculous that he was picked. And so, once you do that, I mean, now we're sort of in a place where we're talking diagonally here, mm-hmm. but like that's to me when you decided he was going to be your quarterback. If Nathan Peterman were someone else who had done anything in the NFL, who had been drafted high himself, if there was any reason to think he would be successful, then it's maybe a different conversation. Yeah, it's not a perfect analogy, but I don't know. It's something. Like, when is the right time to decide? Do I need to see you two both be sales managers for 2 weeks or 3 weeks? Or can I just decide you're going to be better at this? Anyway, here's Rob next. Hi, Rob.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I appreciate taking my call. I was telling the screener, basically, I run a small business that's completely performance-based, and I think in the real world, it's totally preferential, and I think that it's definitely logical. I kind of side with Mike Bulldog, but I appreciate both of your guys' points on this. But
you don't have to, by the way. We're not going to be mad.
Yeah, I understand that.
It doesn't really matter if you. It's nice for you to say it, but
right,
it's okay.
Oh, but I'm telling the truth, and the reason I say it the way I say it is because as a small business owner, even when I was in my position, working my position, I was given preferential treatment just because of how good I was at what I at my craft. So I come from a different place where I can understand how somebody can just be, quote unquote, given something.
Okay, thank you, Rob. Here's Russ next. Hi, Russ.
Question for you guys. This debate you're talking about, do you think there's something like this debate or maybe something more simmering between Bean and McDermott? On the one hand, you've got the coach McDermott saying, hey, I like this guy. And you know, on the other hand, you got Bean saying, well, I gave up a lot of assets and I happen to like this guy.
I wouldn't assume it.
I would more than anything assume that they are joined at the hip on all this stuff.
But I wouldn't assume that either. Are you saying you would?
Yes, I would. I would assume that they are locked in on this.
It just seems to me that the probability of Peterman going up in flames was higher than the probability of McCarron going up in flames. And when you trade away McCarron because the coach says, hey, this guy's going to start, and the guy goes, well, the GM says, we're only keeping two quarterbacks, so, you know, and I'm betting that this quarterback that we drafted is going to be around here maybe longer than you are.
Maybe.
Coach, you know.
Maybe. That could all be right, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think your point about McCarron is correct. I agree with your point about McCarron, that he had a lesser chance of being a tire fire. And they probably, I don't know, like you can ask, thank you, Russ, you can ask, well, what percent chance did the Bills give to any of their quarterbacks being a tire fire? Zero? Because it was a non-zero. We saw it happen. It was a non-zero percent chance.
Yeah. I think, the reason I think that they're joined at the hip is because I think Bean is in the background. I think this is McDermott's show. I think Bean has the job he has because McDermott wanted him to be his partner in this. And if McDermott and Bean disagreed about something, McDermott would get his way. And if they disagreed a lot about stuff, then there'd be a different guy here. Replacing Bean, I mean. Like this is McDermott's show. So McDermott likes Peterman. Bean goes along with it. And it goes up in flames. They got to make a change. Okay. We don't need McCarron. Fine. I'll trade McCarron for you. I think it's McDermott's show. It has sounded, I mean, he got hired first and basically recruited Bean to come here, do this with him. And I don't, for a second at all, think the traditional hierarchy of Bean being above McDermott is in play here at all. I think McDermott's in charge.
Who would go first?
I think if McDermott goes, Bean goes with him. I think Bean could go first.
So it's upside down?
Yes, I think it's upside down. I think McDermott is running the show here.
I haven't thought that, but maybe you're right. I'm not prepared to tell you what I think about all that.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know yet what I think about all that. It kind of makes sense. I like this guy's point there about McCarron, though. Like, I'm fine with McCarron being traded, but the chances of that in Baltimore happening with him are not as good as they were for Peterman. I mean, Peterman's had two starts in the league, and that happened in one of them.
Right.
The other one got snowed out.
That's right. Like, McCarron has gotten through games.
At least he's gotten through games.
And only thrown, like, two picks in four games.
Right.
So, yeah, no, I think that's right.
Mike Chauvin, the Bulldog. Mario Puig, RotoWire today. That's in about 17 minutes here on WGR.
Usually so off. I can't handle it. I just always said, you know, hey, listen, I just don't watch it. That's why I watch enough tape during the year.
I didn't realize that. That sounds like that would have been Doug Marrone on a conference call with New England.
Yeah, that was.
I didn't realize that's relevant.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
He was telling Boston, I don't watch your Super Bowls.
I didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Right.
I never watched the Super Bowl. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Marrone, I think, is the kind of guy who, when he's talking, just sort of makes it up as he goes along. And so he's on a conference call with New England. I guess it isn't the first time he's said this about himself, but that he doesn't watch Super Bowls and hasn't in, I think I saw decades.
Right.
When I first saw this story a couple days ago.
Yeah, he said he hasn't watched one since he was 12. So when he could gamble.
That's a wild. Right.
If he was gambling when he was 12?
If he could bet on them, he would watch them, I think, is a part of this, too.
Do we know which Super Bowl that was? Like, don't you think if you didn't watch the Super Bowl for a long time, especially if you were an NFL coach, because the whole thing is very weird, but you would be able to quickly say which game it was? Maybe he could. If he knows he was 12, he'd probably tell you which Super Bowl that was. No. We could also find out. How old is Marrone? You think you're older than him?
Yes.
You think you're older than he is?
Yes, by a couple years.
So you're guessing he's 51.
Like, sure. Late 40s, early 50s.
He's 54.
Ooh.
Whoops.
You've got me. Just nip me.
So he would have been 12 42 years ago.
All right. That would be, hold on a second, I got to write this down. It would be 1976.
You got to write it down. You just do this stuff. What are you talking about?
1976. Carry the six.
Letters are in words, and you're like, you got to do this math?
What Super Bowl was played in 1976? That would be Dallas and Pittsburgh or Oakland and Minnesota.
One of those is right.
Yeah, well, right. 75 season is Dallas. So January of 76 is Dallas and Pittsburgh.
Yes.
If his birthday is after that, which is likely, it would be Oakland and Minnesota would be his first one.
You mean the last
one? The last one.
Right.
First, maybe, but
since he was
last.
12. Right.
He has not watched Super Bowls in Super Bowl 11.
Right.
He claims. I skipped a couple in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
I did not watch Seattle-Denver. I did not watch Baltimore-San Francisco. And that might have been it. There was one more I wanted to not watch, but I had a party. So kind of had to watch
right.
it. New England, Seattle.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah. New England, Seattle.
Yeah,
you were there.
Yeah.
I had to watch it because Bulldog was there.
Right. I made you watch it.
I did not watch.
I made you in a headlock.
I did not watch the Baltimore one or the Seattle-Denver one.
Yeah.
Because I felt I got power from that.
I've watched everyone since, it's Minnesota-Pittsburgh. No. Yes.
Nine.
Tulane Stadium.
Yes. That's the first one you watched?
I remember that. I'm trying to think if there's any before that. I mean, that one stands out just because it was just sort of like gray and just not, just, ugh, it didn't look good. So it's always sort of stood out to me.
NBC.
But I'm trying to remember if, what year would that have been? Super Bowl 9?
Super Bowl 9 would have been January of 75.
Okay. I can't say that I remember watching like the perfect Dolphins. I remember them playing the Bills, but I don't remember watching them win the Super Bowl. So I think that one, that's the one for me I'd say everyone since then I've watched. It's possible I watched earlier ones, but I don't remember watching them.
So if Marone is being truthful, he and I have never watched the same Super Bowl because I was not around for Super Bowl 11.
All right.
And also Joe. He and Joe have never watched the same.
Right.
If Jacksonville had won last year, he would have gone to that game. He would have watched that game.
Just watching the highlight film count, because you've definitely have done that dozens of times, probably.
Oh, I could recite them for you.
Right.
Rice Stadium. So you think I'm not gonna? Rice Stadium, an empty shell waiting to be filled with the sound of spectacle.
Right.
That's how 8 starts.
All right.
And the helicopters flying over it. And then who will be the losers? The chickens of the sea. The Vikings fan out there. And they're...
Wow.
Not kidding.
No.
That stuff is in my brain for all time.
No joke.
Never coming out.
Right.
No matter how many kids I have and birthdays they have, I'll never replace the beginning of the NFL film Super Bowl 8 video.
Right. Is there supposed to be some outrage about Marone not watching the Super Bowl? Because like when he says I'm not watching the Super Bowl, I feel like what that means is he's not going to a party and burying his face in a bowl of buffalo chicken wing dip, right? Like he's not seeking out an event to watch the game, or even just sitting home with a bag of Ruffles
Fritos.
Watching the Super Bowl. He's supposed to be working? I'm sure if there's stuff in that game that he needs to see, like he sees it.
How could you just not out of professional curiosity or just like as a dude in America watch the Super Bowl for all those years? Like what was his story every year? He wasn't an NFL coach until what, the 2000s? Right. Like what was his story in the 90s? No, I'm good. Like what? I'll stop at Super Bowl 8 for now. But if you rankle me again, I'm going to do some. I'm the Sean McVay of Super Bowl videos.
Nice reference. I didn't know that I had rankled you.
I didn't mean again. Like if you do though, I'm holding that over you.
Oh, I see.
I will read Super Bowl 4.
All right.
If you bother me,
I will seek out some rankle then.
No, you want that?
Yes. Oh, I crave it.
Mario Puig. Lineup day Thursday night football. That's next here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.